Discovery Radio Program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on The Joy of Discovery. And as I do every week, I'll do it again. I'll remind you that if you would ever desire a copy of anything that you hear on our radio program, the CDs are free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write to us, make sure you include the date of the program that you desire and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Himmler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I'll get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get to our study today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, as we come together today, Lord, we come back to the book of Revelation. Again, to work our way through, and Lord, today we're going back to see the messages to the overcomers and who the overcomers are. So, Lord, I pray that this would be an encouragement to our listeners. And Father, if there be somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior that is tuned in today, might today be the day of salvation. Might they put their faith in the finished work of Christ. So, our Lord, we ask your blessing on this morning, and we pray it all now in Jesus' name. Amen. It is good to be with you today on The Joy of Discovery, and I trust that you have a Bible before you, and if you do, I'm going to ask you to open to Revelation chapter 2, if you would, and we'll get there in a moment. Just let me give you a few reminders, if I could, as I like to do. Just a reminder about our website, claysburgbiblechurch.com. All of our studies are archived on there. There are MP3 files that you can download and listen to. There are notes. You can type out the hard copies of anything that you desire if you wanted to take those and use those for a study somewhere. Sunday school lesson, whatever, you're welcome to use those. That's what they are for. And then we have archived on there also our live stream if you would desire to listen to that. So that's all available, and that's for you. Those resources are for you to use. But today, we're back to our study in the book of Revelation. And several weeks ago in our study, we started to look at the promises to the overcomers, which are found in each one of the letters written to the seven churches. We began by asking a question. Who are the overcomers? Who are these, the ones that are referred to in each of these letters? Who are those overcomers? And so what we did, we kept in mind that the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation. And so we went back to one of his other writings. We went back to 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. And it is there that he defines the overcomer. He says this in 1 John 5, 4. He says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" So there John defines the overcomer. The overcomer is the person who is a true believer. And that's what he says. He that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he's the one that overcomes the world. So the true believer is the overcomer. So every promise to the overcomers in the letters that are before us are all promises which we can rest in as believers. They are the true believers within that make up the body of Christ. These promises are for each one of us. And so that's what we're looking at. And we've looked at several of the promises to the overcomers. Today we've come to the promises which Jesus made to the church at Thyatira. And I want to get to that right now. He made a promise of a new position. Now let me give you some historical background again, because we forget these things whenever we get away from this for a little bit. And so I want to refresh your mind and I want to refresh my mind on this. It says I want you to understand the city was known for several things. They manufactured a purple dye, which came from a certain kind of root. While the city was small, there was one thing which was big within the city, and that was the trade guilds. And this is going to play an important part. Trade guilds were comparable to unions today. But in Thyatira, trade had its own, each trade had its own guild, basically had its own union, and there were many of them. There were guilds for the bakers, for the potters, for the workers in brass, for tanners, leather cutters, workers in wool and flax, those that dyed different materials. Those who worked in wool and the dyers were probably the most numerous of all. This is something which played a big part in the problem within the church. And each trade guild had its own god, too. You got to keep that in mind. Each trade guild had its own god. And if you belonged to one of those trade guilds, then you were required to go to the feasts for that god, and you were required to participate in the orgies that they had also. If you did not participate, then you were put out of the guild. You would lose your job. So it was a... for a believer, you can just, now you begin to see what life was like. You know, you might have been a person that you made a living by a trade. And so, okay, if you want to have a business in the city, that you would have to join up with a trade guild. Now, somebody would say this, you know, just don't join the trade guild. That sounds easy, and that's no doubt that should have been what they did. They should have refused to join the trade guilds. But I want you to listen to the words of Barclay on this, and I quote, he said, "No merchant or trader could hope to prosper or to make any money unless he was a member of his trade guild," unquote. So if you weren't part of the trade guild, if you weren't part of the union that existed for the trade that you practiced, if you refused to join that trade guild, then no doubt life was extremely difficult for you. You had a hard time making any kind of money because you didn't belong to that guild. So the true believer who stood for the truth and refused to submit to the pressures of his or her day would surely struggle, for they would have been viewed as the outcasts of their day, the outcasts of the society. With this in mind, now we can better understand what the promise to the overcomer would mean to that individual. Watch Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, if you would. Here's what it says. "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." Now, the one who keeps his works unto the end is the one that is truly saved. In Hebrews 3, 6, and then verse 14, we read this. "But Christ is the Son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." Jesus tells those who are truly saved at Thyatira that they will be given power over the nations. Watch verse 27. Let me read 26 and 27. "He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end," and that would be the mark of a true believer, because a true believer is somebody that is going to be steadfast to the end, okay? "To him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." Now, what's he saying here? Here John quotes from Psalm 2, which speaks of the reign of Jesus Christ on this earth when he sets up his kingdom. Let me explain what this would mean to the believers at Thyatira. As they stood for Jesus Christ in the midst of their day and refused to be a part of the guilds and the false worship, it would have been very costly for them. Many lost their jobs, and so they lost their income. And as they stood for Jesus Christ and refused to bow to the false gods, they would have been viewed as the outcasts. They would never be people of prominence in the city of Thyatira. their stand for Jesus Christ would come with a very high cost. But while their stand would cost them in the city of Thyatira, it would at the same time assure them of a new position of authority. And that position of authority will be recognized in the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. These people would die, and in the rapture, their bodies will be raised and glorified. They will be caught up to be with the Lord when we are. Then they will return at the end of the tribulation to this earth, and when Jesus sets up his kingdom, they will be given authority over the nations. In other words, they will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Okay, so they won't have a position of prominence in the city because of the stand that they take against the trade guilds, but they will be given a position of prominence in that kingdom of Jesus Christ. They might not have much in that city, and they might struggle to make ends meet. But I can assure you, in the coming millennial kingdom, they will be blessed abundantly. Listen to the application. This very same truth also applies to our lives as well. This is so important to understand. We stand for Jesus Christ in the world. And whenever we do, there's going to be a cost. There's going to be a cost. It's going to cost us to take a firm stand for Christ. In Luke 14, 25 through 28, it says, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" There is a cost. There is a price that comes with following Christ. As we follow Jesus Christ, it may keep us from having a prominent position in this world. But in the kingdom, when the kingdom is set up and whenever we get in that kingdom, let me tell you something. We are going to be given power over the nations. We will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Listen to what Jesus said to the true believers at Philadelphia in Revelation 3:9. He said, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee." We may be despised in this world, we may be treated unfairly, but when Jesus sets up his kingdom, you and I are going to have positions of great honor as we serve the Lord. And the world will know who we are. Right now we are veiled. As the bride of Christ, we are veiled. But after the rapture and that the 7 years in heaven and the marriage takes place and we come back, we will be unveiled. The world will know who we are. Right now they don't. The earth groans and travails, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It waits for the day whenever we will be revealed, because in the day that we will be revealed, that's whenever the kingdom is going to be set up and the earth is going to be released from the curse. It's in Romans 8. Right now, the world does not know us. It doesn't know us. So many times we are afflicted, we are persecuted because of the stand for our Lord that we take. When we stand for his moral truth, we stand upon the truth of his word, we become the outcasts. That's okay, because there's coming a day whenever we won't be the outcasts, because in that day we will rule and reign with Christ, and all the world will know who we are. I want you to listen to Revelation 19, 1 through 6. Here's what John writes. We'll get to this way on down the road. He said, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. That's the establishment of the kingdom right there, by the way. It's the establishment of the kingdom. That is a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth. It has to be. Listen, let me tell you why it has to be. Because there are covenants that God made with the nation of Israel that have never been fulfilled. The Abrahamic covenant, the land covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the new covenant. Israel is guaranteed to be gathered back together. Israel is guaranteed to be given her land. Israel is guaranteed to be blessed in that land. Israel is guaranteed to have a king that will rule for all eternity, that will come from the seed of David. Israel is guaranteed all of that. They've not got it yet. They've not got it. So this is coming. There's coming a day whenever this kingdom will be established, and you can count on that kingdom being established. During that kingdom, Satan is going to be bound till the 1,000 years will be fulfilled. Let me go back to Revelation 19 again, starting verse 4. Verse 4. Here's what it says. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. There it is. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You and I are going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Let me go back. We are promised a new position. A new position in that kingdom. Let me get you to the second promise, a new hope. Watch chapter 2 of Revelation, verse 28. And I will give him the morning star. I will give him the morning star. This is an amazing statement. In order to grasp on to what Jesus is saying here, we need to look at a few other scriptures. Malachi 4, 1 through 3, listen to the words. He says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall stumble, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. He shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Here in these verses, Malachi is pointing to the return of Jesus Christ at the end of the great tribulation. He will heal those who've been beaten and bruised, who have made it through the great tribulation period. Let me show you another passage, or read for you another passage that will help you with this. Isaiah 35, 5 and 6 says, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out in streams in the desert. That's in the kingdom. So Jesus, now listen to this, as the Son of Righteousness will rise at the end of the great tribulation. He will rise at the end of the great tribulation period. But here in our text, we're told that the saved will be given the morning star. Jesus is also called the morning star. Revelation 22:16, listen to this. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. Now listen to this. You may have never seen the morning star because it appears very early in the morning. Maybe you're not an early riser. It actually appears when the sky first begins to lighten. And it appears way before the sun rises. When Jesus promises that believers will be given a morning star, he's promising the rapture. Here's a picture as the rising sun, or he is a picture of the rising sun when he appears at the end of the great tribulation. And because the morning star appears before the rising sun, we can be sure that Jesus Christ is speaking of the rapture. You got that? Because the rapture comes before the tribulation period. So the morning star appears before the rising of the sun. Jesus Christ promises the morning star. That's the rapture. Not only do we have the promise of a new position in the kingdom, but we also have a new hope in Christ. We might struggle as we go through this world, and we may suffer because of our stand, but we have this hope of the rapture, and at any moment we could be caught up to heaven. At any moment. That is a promise to the church. The promise of the morning star. Let me go to the next promise, and it's to the church at Sardis, and it's the promise of a new security. There are many things in this life which people cling to, but the bottom line is that there's nothing of this world that is secure. But that which we have in Christ is secure. Watch Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Watch this. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What's he saying here? What's he saying? 2 points in this verse that I want to point to show our security in Christ. Number one, we are promised white raiment. In the Bible, white garments are symbolic of redemption. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." When we return to the earth with Jesus Christ, we will be clothed in white raiment. Revelation 19:7-8 says this, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife," see there, the marriage is already over, "the wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." Now, let me show you what happens whenever a sinner receives Christ as their Savior. In Romans 3:22, it says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." The moment of salvation, we are covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That very moment that you are saved. This means when God looks on us, when he looks upon us, he sees us covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Listen, verse 5 again, "He that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment." Guaranteed. But it goes on. We're also promised an eternal place in the book of life. Watch 3:5 again, in the middle of it. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I will not. We know the overcomer is a true believer. Here then we see that our names will never be blotted out of the book of life. Never. That's what he says. The overcomer is the believer, and he says, "I will not blot out his name out of the book of life." This gives us the idea that every person's name, every person that has ever existed, their name's been recorded in the book of life, and those who reject Jesus Christ are blotted out. This fits perfectly with several verses. 1 John 2:1-2, it says, "My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Christ died for everybody. God wants everybody to be saved. I believe everybody's names recorded in the in the in the book of life, and when a person dies and they die in their sin because they've rejected Christ, their name's blotted out. But once you get saved, your name will never be blotted out. Hebrews 2:9 says this, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death and crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. There again, he died for everybody. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it's God's will that all would be saved. So I say this, that God has recorded everybody's name in the book of life. Some people see two different books of life, the Lamb's book of life and the book of life here. Some people say that when you trust in Christ, and then your name is recorded in the Lamb's book of life. I don't know if that's the case or not, but I do know this, that to the overcomer, here in chapter 3, verse 5, the promise is that his name will never be blotted out of the book of life. Never. Secure in Christ. Secure. These are the promises for the believers. We get this new position. We get a new hope. Now we have a security. Let me remind you, God desires for you to be saved. And he sent Jesus Christ to die in your place upon the cross. And he's entered your name in the book of life. If you'll repent and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, he'll never blot your name out of that book of life. But if you die in your sins, your name comes out. It comes out. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What are you going to do with the gift that he offers to you? I'm out of time today, but I want to thank you for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And again, if you would ever desire to hear a copy of any of our messages and you want a copy of it, all you need to do is write to us and request a CD, and we will send it to you, no charge. Whenever you write, make sure you include the date of the program and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. 5-5. Until we meet around the radio, or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.